came and married the principal of the school.
Oh, I see. Where are you from?
Honolulu.
Oh, I see. But then you've been here since 1917, long time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Maybe you can tell me how it was over here before.
Well, it was a sugar plantation. And then my husband was born here.
Mm-hmm.
And he taught in a one-room school in Kailikou. I don't know, 1 year, I think. Then he moved down there to a two-room school. Then I came and taught with him for 1 year. Then we moved up here to the big school.
Oh.
It was only a four-room school then.
How old is this Hana school?
Well, this is a new building. Rather, it's been extended. It was only a four-room school when I came. And that's right. Mm-hmm. But we had grades up to, I don't quite remember whether it was up to the sixth grade or up to the eighth grade. No, I think up to the sixth grade. And then gradually it grew up to the eighth grade, then to the high school.
So they've just been building.
Slowly, uh-huh. Yeah. Well, from 1917 till now. No, I forget just when it became a high school. Quite a number of years ago.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So, before it was a, did you say it was a plantation before?
A what?
This place, Hana.
Mm-hmm. You said sugar plantation.
Sugar plantation, mm-hmm. So mostly the plantation kids.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Oh.
Of course, the Hawaiians came in from the outer districts.
But who were the teachers? What kind of people? What ethnic background? People like maybe Hawaiian, local?
No, yeah, mostly Filipinos.
Teachers?
No, not teachers.
Oh.
I mean the population here.
Oh.
Mostly Filipinos, they worked in the cane field. And there was Japanese and a few Chinese and quite a number of Hawaiians.
Yeah. And what about the teachers?
The teachers?
Mm-hmm.
Well, as we grew, now there's my husband, he was part Hawaiian, myself, his sister. Then the school from down Ha'u'u came in, that's another sister. Added to, and then his niece, almost like a family affair.
Yeah, the whole family. Oh.
Then gradually it grew as the plantation grew.
But you must have seen a lot of changes over
there. Oh yes, quite a number. And from this corner up to the other corner, we're all camp houses for the Filipinos and the Chinese, Japanese, whoever. We're working on the in the fields.
Oh, I see.
Then, let's see, there were one, two, three camps. I forget what this they call this camp over here.
Different, like,
plantations? They were grouped, Filipino camp and the Chinese camp and the Japanese camp.
And they didn't get together.
Oh, they did. They worked together in the fields, but their homes were together from this corner to the other corner up above there. But it Now let's see, were they Japanese? Mostly Japanese. Well, there were very few Chinese. Then the Filipino camp. There were more Filipinos than anybody else. Then there's, yeah, two Filipino camps. It's so long ago.
Yeah.
And of course, there was the sugar mill. Part of it is still standing.
Where?
Have you visited the post office anywhere up there,
that
section?
We've been so busy taping, we hardly went any place, but today we
hope
to.
Uh-huh.
And then what else do they have before, what do they have for the people like to work?
All in the cane field, most of them in the cane fields. All their children came to school from those homes.
Yes.
Filipinos and Japanese. And
Chinese.
Oh, very few Chinese.
Portuguese,
there was a community further down the other way, but I don't recall them. I think they gradually moved out to Pana. There was a small community in Nahiku, and they lived there, just a few of them. The children came to school here, but very few.
And then Puerto Ricans?
No. I don't recall one family. Let's see. There was, have you visited Miss Cooper? She's born here. She's my husband's niece.
Oh.
And she may have lots to tell you about Han a long time ago.
Oh.
She's a retired teacher too.
Oh, I see. But yeah, a nice place looking over the
beach. It belongs to my husband. His father built this home. Gradually we opened all bedrooms because his father had a family of, let's see how many children, I forget so many children, but he was the only boy, so he got the place. Mr. Medeiros, you said you visited him? Well, his mother was my husband's sister.
Oh,
and right next to him, the house is torn down, was another sister. She moves over to the other side because when this plantation closed, most of the people had to find work on the other side. So she moved.
Cool.
Uh-huh.
Uh-oh.
And then, of course, from here to the corner belongs to my husband. Now, I have three daughters, so each one got a place.
Next door to you?
She's a retired teacher, but my oldest daughter built that house for her. She didn't want to move out of Hana.
Oh, this so, retired teacher.
My youngest daughter got this place, and my second daughter got the corner one, and the oldest girl got the middle one. And she said, I got the poorest place. Well, she wasn't as fast in talking as my youngest one. I want this. The second girl was faster. She said, I want the corner lot. The third daughter said, I want this one. So the oldest had to take the middle one.
No boys.
There's three girls.
Oh, so nice. A lot of grandchildren.
Yes. Let's see. The oldest has two boys. The second one has a boy and two girls. And third, last girl has three boys and one girl. They're kind of scattered. Some on the mainland. Oh. The girl and the third girl's daughter is on the mainland. And two sons here, one here and one in Kenai, and one in Honolulu.
These are your grandchildren, all?
Uh-huh. Oh. The oldest girl has her oldest son with her. He teaches up here. Oh. And one son in Honolulu. The other girl, second girl, she has two daughters and a son. And they're all in Honolulu.
Oh. But your daughters live here?
Yeah, my oldest and my youngest.
Uh-oh.
Just now, my youngest daughter is in Japan. She joined a group of people. Now, what do they do? Well, anyway, she's with this group of people at, she's in Japan just now, visiting countries around there. She'll be home at the, let's see, what day is today?
Today is the 19th.
19th.
No, 20th.
By the end of the week, I think. It's supposed to be gone 2 weeks, you know.
Oh, nice. I enjoy traveling.
You enjoy what?
Traveling.
I do too.
Yeah.
I think I've seen enough of the world.
Have you been around the world?
No, I have. I've been to Europe and to the Orient, down South Pacific, and I'm a retired teacher.
Uh-huh. So I'd like to go down to the South Pacific.
It's interesting.
Do some work down there.
Mm-hmm. Well, I didn't travel too far to too many islands. That was my first trip. And never again will I ride another ship.
Oh.
I'm a poor sailor. it was interesting, though.
Good. I heard it's been raining.
Just so started bad. Yesterday. When did you come?
We came on Saturday.
Oh. It has poured quite a bit in a couple of days, but otherwise, no, it doesn't rain too much.
Oh.
We have seasons like everywhere else.
Yeah.
The rainy seasons and dry seasons.
How is the weather usually over here?
Normal, I would say. Nice.
Yeah. Not too much rain.
Well, there are those rainy seasons everywhere, so we get it good and hard sometimes.
Sometimes they have drought over there?
Yes, but seldom. There was a time, but that was years ago, many years ago. It was so bad, we had to go way out to the streams that always had water, you know, but the water was quite low. And take our buckets and tin pans and everything and haul water in. We all go down, family, all the dirty clothes, everything, wash in the stream and then bathe down there and then come home with a bucket full of water and tubs, whatever we can find.
Do you know any stories about Hana, you know, maybe legends or ghost stories, like that.
I think if you went over to to Miss Cooper's house. She can tell you more because she's born here.
Oh, no, but maybe you heard some stories.
I can't recall them.
At what, when Hannah's school first started out, how many children?
I don't know. See, when I came, I went to this two-room school with my husband. See, he had an assistant. He had been teaching about three years before I came. And he had an assistant with him, just two rooms, way down there. His first school was out this way, one-room school. Then he was sent down there. Then his assistant left. Then I came. Rather, I still had two more years to go through normal training school for teachers. When we met, he wanted to get married. And I said, well, my parents said no. My mother, rather, she... I didn't have a father then, he passed away. My mother said, no, finish your schooling first, two more years. Tell him to wait. Well, he didn't want to wait. So we got married and we taught in the two-room school down there. Oh, this was that 1 year? I think 1 year, could be two. Then we moved up here when it was a four-room school. So there was he, myself, and his two sisters that taught there.
How many children?
At that time? Gee, I wouldn't. Now we would say 30 to a teacher, that would be about 120, and then.
Oh, that was good. And only four rooms.
Four rooms.
Now
but it could be, maybe, it could be a little less, but I think that was about, because I remember a time, that we had up to the, I'm not quite sure, up to the 6th or 7th grade, then gradually it grew up while my husband was still principal, to high school. So long ago, I can't remember.
Yeah, how many years did he, was he principal?
Well, let's see. I believe he began in 1912. And he had just retired. He wasn't even a year out of school when he passed away. Mm. That was sad because he was still, I would say, still young.
Yeah.
But he had to retire when he reaches retirement age. And that hurt.
Yeah.
Well, he was still strong and active, and I had one more year to go before I reached retirement age.
Oh,
and
so how old was he?
He 60. Now he's 4 years older than I am. So. I stayed for 1 year to be, well, the longer you stay, the better retirement you get.
Mm-hmm.
So he was just out 1 year waiting for me to come when he passed away. And we were planning to go places together. And that was sad. He just dropped. I guess he didn't know he had heart trouble.
Oh, I see, it was heart trouble. Mm-hmm. Sometimes worked too hard, yeah.
He didn't look sick, he didn't feel sick, except he complained about
just
pain. Took him to the doctor, said nothing wrong. Took him to the other side, to another doctor, nothing wrong. But I guess in those days it was hard to check on the heart. So he just dropped. It was all bedrooms because there were about 13 children in his family, his father's family, parents' family. 13, and the only boy. But gradually, I mean, they passed away maybe as babies or grown up, you know, and left six sisters and one boy. And so the boy got this, got the place from here down to the corner. And one girl lived over there with her family at that corner. And she had her sister with her, one of the younger girls. There was one sister in Lahaina. And then there's a sister right around the corner here, Cooper family. So just one more girl left. And oh, and her brother, two brothers here, still here. And others moved away.
Oh. A lot of people, like the younger people I hear, they move out of Hana after a while.
Well, the plantation closed down.
Yeah. And but even now,
well,
people.
Yeah, they, there were jobs here. They had to go get a living.
What is it now, the economy, how?
Well, the, there's the hotel that, and all that big yard and a building to take care of, and waiters, waitresses, and then there are the stores, Hana store, Hasegawa store. They don't hire too many people there. Mm-hmm. Then the ranch boys. Not too many of them. Then the teachers, then the road board men.
Yeah.
Those would be the only places would hire workers. Otherwise, Han is small now, very small. The population is very small.
Is it true that they're thinking of closing up the school?
Well, not exactly. They were thinking of building another schoolhouse out this way. But we've been waiting to see it come up. They haven't moved to do a thing. Well, I can't see why they should move out. The population has gone down. The number of children are not as large as it used to be.
Mm-hmm. There was, how many, you said about 120 before when they had the plantation, yeah? Now it's only about 215.
Oh, we went up to 500 something. When the plantation was here going. Running.
That many?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, because of the plantation, there were a lot of workers. There were houses all the way from this corner up to the other corner, homes. And then from the church over to the corner, going up the road. More plantation houses. And then from Hasegawa store, you know where that is?
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's a road going down on both sides of that road all the way to the beach almost. All camp houses.
Oh, a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. Yes, quite a number of people.
Mm-hmm. You know, as a former teacher, what do you think about pidgin English in school, in homes, you know,
Oh, I didn't think it was too bad. It's fun. Now that I look back, the children have improved very, very much. The older people speak better English, and naturally the children would speak better English. And you hear it on the road, you know how the children will just cut up the language, say an old thing. They understand what they're talking about. But when they grow up and want to find a job, a decent job, they speak better than they do on the streets.
How was it back, you know, like when, because you were teaching a lot of plantation kids, a lot of problems?
Oh, well, I guess no different than they are today. And I do find that in those days, it was easier to work with the children. The parents looked up to the teachers. But I think now the parents come in and they upset the teachers sometimes. The children go home and don't tell the right thing. And so naturally there's trouble.
As far as speech went, you know, because of a lot of plantation kids, how was their speech when they would talk to one another, talk to you?
To me, they speak well because they have to do it in school. But on the streets, I find myself talking like the kids out of school.
Did you find yourself like correcting the kids?
In the classroom, we tell them that we expect them to speak correctly because they have their language work and their storytelling time, and so you just keep correcting day after day all these little errors, you know. But outside of school, if I can't even think about even talking to somebody who don't understand the English quite well, then you use a pigeon.
Yeah. Like when you speak to an elderly, maybe Japanese lady.
Yes, yes, yes.
How do you speak to them?
You say, hello, Mama, how are you today? Okay.
Yeah. So we're finding out, we're studying pigeon English, and, you know, we're trying to get reactions on mm-hmm. how people feel about it, you know, whether they consider it a language or how do you feel?
It isn't as bad today as it was uh-huh. some time ago, because there were so many Filipinos and Japanese who couldn't speak the English language well, so you have to come down to their level mm-hmm. and speak the pigeon too.
Yes. How do you think that pidgin English originated?
Well, from these people who couldn't speak English. You've got little Hawaiian Japanese all mixed up together and Filipino, you know. So naturally, you use the sign language. Yeah. My hair, you go. You see this, my hair, yeah. Hawaiian, uh-huh. you go. The Hawaiian and,
yeah.
and the English mix.
That's very interesting. Yeah. Because that's a Hawaiian construction.
Yeah. Yes, the Hawaiians, there were quite a number of them that mingled among and did the same kind of work the Filipinos and Japanese mm-hmm. and Chinese did.
And there must have been a lot of intermarriage.
Yes. Uh-huh. Which is nice. I think it's
yeah,
very nice.
Uh-huh. Were there a lot with Japanese and outsiders? Like a Japanese with Filipino, Japanese, Hawaiian, Japanese? Or was it more like Japanese together?
No, as the children grew up, first people that came, they came maybe single men, mostly single men. They worked in the fields. So naturally, they were Filipinos and Chinese, Japanese. So then they began to intermarry. And the Hawaiians, were here. And so they married the outside people.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was nice, though.
Yes. Uh-huh. What are you?
Me?
What nationality?
Let's see. Hawaiian, of course. My mother was Hawaiian. And I don't recall. My grandfather was very fair, but I never knew what nationality he was, that fair side. I know my grandmother is Hawaiian, you could see through and through. But my grandfather, he was, my grandmother's short. My grandfather was so tall, fair, and but he spoke Hawaiian fluently. So I never found out what nationality he was.
Did you ever speak Hawaiian?
Who?
You.
No, I understand. I can put a few words together and make sense, but I can't just rattle off like the, well, because when we started to go to school, my parents said, no, when we come home and we have things to tell them, we wanted to say it in Hawaiian. No, 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 you don't. You speak in English. They spoke Hawaiian fluently to us all the time. Well, they wanted us to learn the English. The schools had just started to open up and... Yes, I understand Hawaiian very well, but I can't speak it. I could put words together and...
Yes. Oh, that's been happening a lot before, where the English schools started coming up and parents told their children, don't speak Hawaiian.
Yeah. That's right. That's what our parents did. No, I'm really sorry that that happened.
Yeah.
Mina Mina is right. My girls can't talk Hawaiian. They don't even understand all of it.
Yeah. It's difficult now, you know, because we don't have the people speaking.
Mm-hmm.
The whole environment has changed.
Yeah. I envy these, what few Hawaiians left here that will rattle off in Hawaiian.
My mother speaks the French.
She speaks,
So I've been picking that up.
Uh-huh.
But I had to go to college to learn.
And now you can rattle it off?
Yeah.
Good.
With my mother. Too bad, the language, the culture.
And dying.
Yeah. That's what I like about this place. It's so nice. A lot of the natural things. So you've lived here since you came in 1917.
Right. I had 2 more years to go through teacher training school, at Old Normal School. But my husband didn't want to wait till, my mother said, you wait till you finish, you graduate. My husband didn't want to wait. Well, I loved him, so I gave up school.
Yeah.
He said, if we get married now, he said, you can go back summertime and get your certificate that way.
Yeah.
So I did. Mm-hmm. Just I just didn't listen to my mother. But I don't think she was sorry, though, that I did that. So I went 3 summers, and I got my teaching certificate.
Oh, good.
2 years' work, all in 3 summers.
Mm-hmm. Where was this place?
Normal Training School.
Mm-hmm.
Up Punchbowl, on the slope of Punchbowl. You live in Honolulu?
Yes, yeah. But I'm from
the... You know where the Kailani School home is?
Yes.
Well, that's where I lived. From Kamehameha School,
yes.
One of the teachers was interested in me, and she said, well, what would you like to do when you finish Kamehameha School? This was
you
at the end.
Kamehameha.
Yes.
What year?
I finished in, oh my, 17, I think it was, 1916 or 1917. I forget now. Well, this teacher was interested in me. She said, well, what would you like to do when you finished Kamehameha School, this is about the end of the year. I said, I don't know. So she said, would you like to be a teacher? I said, well, I can try. So she made all the arrangements, the Kamehameha funds, paid my way through. I lived at Kalani Home.
Yes, that's uh-huh. downtown.
Yeah. And you walk up the hill to normal training school.
Oh.
It was a short walk. So she paid my way through. And then when I finished, I paid it back slowly, what I could, you know.
Yes. I'm a 71 graduate.
What?
Of Kamehameha.
You were there?
Yes.
Oh, what year?
I graduated in 71.
71,
There's so many changes.
Nice school. I'm glad I went. All three of the three girls were there.
What was your last name?
Kamanolu.
Kamanolu.
N-O-U, no. My father and mother were separated when we were little children, and my mother had a hard time go to work and take care of us. But just about that time, my brother was about 18. He was still in St. Louis school. He had to quit to go to work to help her support us. My father wouldn't support us. And I never found out just what happened. Well, I guess in those days the laws weren't as strong and strict as they are today. But anyway, he didn't support us after that, so she had to go to work at the laundry. Well, where's the laundry? That's a big laundry down there.
Yeah.
Magoon's laundry. And so she developed this cough, because every time she ironed the clothes, you know, she'd go to the window and cool off. Then she would develop this cough. She coughed until she passed away. She passed away when she was 75, I think, 76. All those years. And I think she started when she was about in her 30s. She coughed every day, all night long. So when I moved up here to Hana, I brought her along. But she loved my older sister more than she did us, because I think she was the first to get married and had children and needed the help. So my mother lived with her, but came up here to visit off and on. So yes, she got too old. We put her in the where the old people are. Dunalilo home up way out.
Oh, Dunalilo up in Hawaii Kai now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Hawaii Kai Kokopia.
Yeah. Because I couldn't take care of her here. Her mind was with my other sister. Then my sister died.
Oh.
She had gone down. She left me, and then my sister died, and I put her down in the home. Because she would wander off. So, and I was teaching school, and I couldn't be home with her.
Yeah. Oh. So you lived in Honolulu for how many years?
I was born there.
Yeah.
Until I met my husband. I was 19, I think. Got married when I was 20. Then I moved.
In those days, that's pretty late, you know?
Yeah, I guess so. I had 2 more years to go to training school. Mm-hmm. He didn't want to wait. He was already teaching. Mm-hmm. He said, "That's all right." He said, "You can go back summertime and get your certificate that way." So I went 3 summers and got that 2 years certificate.
They used to marry very young.
Well, they needed the teachers then, and the normal training school wasn't turning out enough teachers.
So you go through that just like, for how long, the normal training school?
They had from the little children up to high school.
Oh, like when you to go for your teaching certificate, how long did it take?
4 years, I think.
just like regular college. Mm-hmm. And then they just teach you all kinds of things.
How to teach. Uh-huh.
Sometimes now it's so discouraging because there's no jobs for teachers. Discouraging for people going through college. There's no jobs at all.
Yeah. And the teachers stay a long time in the profession. Well, why not? And life is, I wouldn't say it's easy teaching kids other people's children. This drives you crazy.
Especially,
but we were lucky here. Our children were really nice. And my husband, well, born here, everybody knew him. And what he said, the parents never, fought against him. What he said was almost law in school. So if children got too naughty for the teachers to handle, just send them up. Some of them refused to go. I said, okay, don't let that happen again. The next time you do it, if you don't go up there, then I'm going to call Mr. Hyatt to come down here. We had nice children, really nice.
Good. So difficult. Uh-huh. Especially on the secondary level.
Yes. Uh-huh. Oh, very, yeah.
I think on a college level, the professors have it pretty easy.
Yeah, I think so. Well, they're more, what you call, more matured. So.
Yeah, they should be.
And when you become a matured person, then what am I going to do? If I don't do this, then I won't be any of any value as time goes on. Mm-hmm. And I won't get any money. Nobody will want to hire me. Mm-hmm. So you do better as you grow up.
Mm-hmm. Oh, this.
What, do you want me to read it out loud?
Yeah.
Oh, let's see. Last year, my cousin Ella came to Honolulu from Maui. We put her up in the great guest room since she didn't have any other place to stay. In fact, we treated her real well. It wasn't bad the first 3 weeks, but after that, we started getting nervous. She slept till 11:30 in the morning, then took over the bathroom for a whole hour. She never straightened out her room. It was a mess. "Lend a hand sometime," I said to her the other day. "Okay, okay. I'm not going bother you folks after next month," she said. I'm going find one other place. Another month, I thought, had better be sooner than that. The next day she got a letter from her estranged boyfriend in Maui. "I miss you," he said in the letter. "You better come home quick, sweetheart." The next day she went straight home.
Thank you.